Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Once again, this is your friend, Pastor Landis Fisher, and this is Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Church. Amen. We are blessed to be here with you for another Lord's Day. It is not the Lord's Day. I guess every day is the Lord's Day. But let's say for a Bible study concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. And we're happy that you have tuned in. We are, as I mentioned, St. Timothy Church, right downtown in beautiful Spanish Lake. And we thank God for you. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We do have a word from the Lord that I wanted to pray with you about. I know it's kind of really, really cold and a lot of different kinds of situations going on. But we just thank God well as it is. And I'm happy to be here and praying the Lord's blessings upon us. Amen. I know he is in the blessing business. If you know the Lord, you know for sure that he is in the blessing business. Amen. Because he has blessed us in so many different ways. Amen. So without any further delay, we're going to go right ahead and go before the Lord in prayer, as it is our custom. Amen, before we break the bread of life. And y'all excuse me, I'm looking a little strange because I had to have on all kinds of headgear and hats and looking a little fuzzy here about the head today. But amen, praise the Lord, I'm here live in living color. Amen. So we thank God for that. But let's have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless your name. Father, we praise you. We exalt your name today, God. We just thank you for another day's journey. Father, we lift up the name of Jesus right now, O God, which is the only name whereby we must be saved. And so, Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the knowledge of Christ. We thank you for the word of Christ. And, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit today, which is able to bless whosoever trusts and believes in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And, Father, we thank you that you raised him from the dead and you gave us the revelation of the fact that you raised your only son out of the grave so that we don't even have to fear death because death has been swallowed up in victory. And so, Father, we praise you. We ask you to anoint many listening to my voice right now with healing, Lord God. Somebody needs you right now in order to be healed. Heal people, Lord God, not only of a physical infirmity, Lord God, but heal them of fear, of anxiety. Heal them of pressure, oh God, and doubt. And Father, just heal somebody right now who's listening to this message coming from my weak voice. Lord God, just let your mercy rain right on them right now. Let them know that you have loved them with an everlasting love and that you are in control of every situation and that they do not need to fear. So many times in your word, you said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Father, bless them right now with an Isaiah 41:10 blessing, Lord God, that they might be able to continue on in your strength and in your power. Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you for every member of our church family Thank you for every home and family that's represented here. Father, people are praying right now everywhere under the sound of my voice, oh God, with me. And whatever they need, Father, we lift up their needs right now because we know that you are God who is everywhere all at the same time and that you know our needs even before we ask. And so bless them right now where they are, oh God, and we give you all the honor, the praise, and above all the glory. Father, we pray for the people in Texas, Lord God. Bless them with some kind of comfort in the midst of their trials, oh God, and let that power be restored down there, Lord God, so that those people can be back to a normal lifestyle, Lord God. And we just praise you today. We bless you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you that we are clothed and in our right minds. And Father, we pray that you forgive us of our transgressions. And we know that you are anxious to do that because you've invested your own Son into our salvation. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus, that perfect sacrifice that satisfies you entirely on our behalf. And Father, without him, we can't do anything. So we want to thank you for Jesus today, Father. And we pray you bless us, strengthen us, that we might not sin against you, oh God. We give you all the praise and the glory. We ask a blessing on the word today as it goes forth, that it would enrich the hearts and the minds and the lives of everybody under the sound of my voice. And we ask that it would reach the multitudes, oh God, with the good news of the gospel, that you so love this world, that you gave your only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in the name of Jesus, that you raised him out of the grave, shall be saved. Save somebody today, oh God, who is trusting Christ right now, even for the first time. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and thank God for what he is doing right now. Hallelujah. Amen. We do want to talk with you. Like I say, we always come up a little short when we're trying to deal with things on the Lord's Day. This past week, we talked about taking it personally. And you can go back and catch that message if you happen to miss it. And want to continue on just in that vein of thinking, because you and I need to understand that we are in some troublous times. I think throughout the church age, there's always been trouble. And so our time, we should not expect that everything will be without trouble. I think it does us a lot of good if we anticipate the fact that there will be trouble. Jesus put it this way. I want to take you to John chapter 16 and share a verse or two with you. John 16, let's look at let's back up because this is so good. I have to keep going back. Let's go to John 16 and look at verse 25. John 16 and 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father. I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus said to them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. These are the words of Jesus and his disciples that we have read here for you in John 16, 25 through 33. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his holy word. Amen. What a passage. Have you ever felt like sometimes in your life you don't understand how we got where we are? Like you might be going through some situation in your life when things seem very difficult, when things are very trying for you, when there are things going on you would rather not deal with. There's like pressures in your life and there's a lot of variables, unknown things that you don't know how they're going to turn out, things that threaten your peace or threaten a member of your family or your whole family or anything, threatens your job, threatens just your health or anything of that sort. You know, the truth is all of us go through such things. The beauty of what Jesus says here to his disciples is that because he came into the world, because you believe in him, God loves you. Have you thought about that? I was wondering one day, because I look at myself all the time, and perhaps you do this too. Perhaps you're like me in that way that you sometimes analyze yourself, and you may say, well, what is it? Why would God love me? Because sometimes we don't think too much of ourselves in many cases. But I want you to understand that one day I was having the same kind of a conflict in my own mind. Why would God love me? And I said it because, you know what, I know I'm not perfect. I got issues. I have some ups and downs. I don't do everything right all the time. Sometimes I stumble out of the way, and sometimes I intentionally get angry and step out of the way. Or it may be other situations, but the fact is, just to put it in a nutshell, none of us are perfect. We can be saved, but it doesn't mean we're snapped instantly into perfection. So we have a lot of growing to do. The great news is that God has already looked at you in the finished state, for lack of a better way to say it. Let's just say he looks at those who are saved as though he's already worked on you. And I can give you a verse or two for that. Romans chapter 8 and what we call the golden chain says, for them he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:29 there and about. Because we know, everybody knows Romans 8:28, for we know that God works all things together for good, for them who love God and for them who are the called according to his purpose. In verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And those whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so in God's mind, it's a complete package. When I call you, I was the one who predestined you. I've determined that in your life you would become my child. I have adopted you into my family. And I thought about you before you ever existed. And we've seen that in a few previous lessons. God says, I know you. I knew you, like he told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See, so he says, I have a destiny on your life, which I determined in eternity past. And what the Bible does for me and you is it unrolls and unfolds for us some of the depths of the mind of God toward us. Things that God has determined for you even before you were born. Do you know that there's no way that any of us could ever believe God if it were not for the fact that he called us? If it were not for the fact that he blessed us, that he loved us? And I used to wonder, how can God love me? I had a problem with that when I got saved. And maybe you're right there tonight. I don't know where you are right now in your walk. But many times the enemy, the flesh, and even the world will cause us to doubt what God has said and his word. And so you and I have to get to a place where we can defeat those kind of thoughts that will invade our minds and give us a state of unrest, a state of uneasiness, or even a state of fear. Because remember, the word says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so God wants you to know for sure that even though you're going through changes, and even that passage that I quoted from Timothy was Paul writing Timothy, who had been chosen to be a disciple and eventually a pastor in a church. And he told Timothy that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, because there were some fearful things in Timothy's life that would cause him to start to have the kind of anxiety that we're talking about here this evening. So I want to help you with that this evening. If you can just believe God's word and pray on it, then I think you're going to feel better about everything going on in your life. All right? Amen. That's what I want to challenge you with here this evening. because the world keeps on going and it's not going to get a lot better. In fact, it looks like it's getting worse progressively day by day. And so how does the child of God hold on to their peace even in the midst of whatever comes into our lives? That's kind of the crux of what I want to talk with you about here. So I want you to see in the Word, that's why I brought you here, the reason that God loves you. Now, and let's take that. That's what I grapple with. Why would God love me? You know what I thought about? Yeah, you're not all that great. In fact, you're pretty lousy many times. That's the way I felt back at the time when someone told me the gospel. And I'm thinking, okay, that's gospel, but it's almost too good to be true that God loved me so much He gave Jesus His Son to be my Savior. And He loves me and accepts me because I believe Him. But this is what I want you to see. I want you to see it for yourself, because when I was in that quandary one day, going through that with my mind, that was my evil flesh telling me, man, you know you evil. You know, look at all the things you've done. Look at all the way you think, how you have awful thoughts that come into your mind. Look at some of the stuff that you still think that's not right. You know, and you'll have a lot of people today will walk around and act like they're not having that problem, although we know that the Apostle Paul and so many others, and this is not in any way to justify evil thoughts, evil thinking, or the kinds of stuff that needs to go out of your life, any of that. There's no way to justify that, but it's a reality that you and I must grasp and must understand in order that the flesh and the world and the devil don't destroy our peace. And we're talking about giving you peace. That's what Jesus is talking about here in this passage that we just set before you. So let's take a look. I want you to see it for yourself, because God convinced me after I read this years ago, and I thought, well, this is perfect for a time like this. He said here, I'm going to start speaking to you clearly. Now, what Jesus meant is that when the Holy Spirit has come to you, which He is, if you believe Him, it's only because the Holy Spirit has given you faith, which came by hearing the good news, the message about Christ, that God has given His Son so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. When you believe that, it's because the Holy Spirit of God has given you conviction to trust God and to walk with Him from this point forward. God has given you faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So God has imparted faith to you. And we hope this happens to many of you who are listening tonight if you have never trusted Christ to be your Savior. You might be like I was. You say, yeah, you know, why would He save me? I'm too far gone. There's no way I can be helped. But the truth of the matter is God loves you, and He calls us all out of darkness into His marvelous light. He wakes us up in the midst of our dead situation in life. When we don't have faith, He gives us faith, and He energizes us through His Spirit, which is given to everyone who trusts the good news that God loves you just like you are. And so this is what I need you to understand this evening. God loves you. If you have not heard it before, I hope it's the first time for you. If it is, then trust Christ right now. Do it right now. God will change you right where you are, and He will prove to you that He loves you. Now, if you believe His Word, listen to what He says here. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 25, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs." In other words, it's not clearly being spoken to you. It's kind of parabolic at the time He's speaking. In other words, He says some things, and you have to decipher what does He mean by what He said. And God does that for a reason. But notice this, moving on in verse 25, "But the time cometh," He said, there's a time coming in the near future, we could say, "when I will no longer speak unto you in proverbs or parables." In other words, I'm going to start to speak to you a different way at the proper time. And notice on here, "but I shall show you plainly of the Father." The purpose of all the teaching that Jesus has given is to reveal to me and you something about the Father. The Son came to reveal to us the character of the Father who loves us. And the Holy Spirit comes to reveal to us the character of Jesus, the Son, who God has given on our behalf. So there's a connectivity in the Godhead. The Son reveals the Father, and the Spirit reveals the Son to us. And He does it through the Word of God. So when God has given you His Word, that's what Jesus is explaining here, because He knows He's about to go to the cross. He's just about to give His life as a sacrifice to pay the wages, to receive, let me say, the wages for sin, which is death. Jesus is about to take death upon Himself in order to give life to everyone who trusts in him. And that includes you, beloved. And he's making his disciples ready because they don't believe. It was hard for them to wrap their mind around the fact that he was going to the cross. Cross, that doesn't fit into what we think. See, so Jesus is prepping them to understand that he's about to go to the cross. But I'm going to send my spirit, who is another comforter just like me. That's what he says literally in the Greek. And he will be, he's with you now, he told them, but he will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. Once you believe, I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to baptize you in my spirit. And you're going to believe the things that God has said in his word. And so he's preparing them for that transition right here in the passage that we set before you. Notice this. Move on here. In verse 26, he says, at that day, when that happens, ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not unto you. He says, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He says, I'm not going to necessarily need to pray the Father for you. Notice this. Verse 27, you may want to mark this in your Bible. I know I did, and I love it. It's one of my favorite verses. For the Father himself loveth you. Do you get that? The Father himself loveth you. That word, and this is one reason I like the KJV. When it says loveth with an E-T-H on the end, that means he loves you and it continues on forever till infinity. He loveth you. That's why I like this translation. It says loves you in all the more modern translations. But in the KJV, they use that tense to show that it's a tense in the Greek that means he loves you all the way with continuation, all the way until the end. And that kind of has so many verses. We won't talk about that. But it says here, if you want to know the reason why God loves you, for the Father himself loveth you because, notice this, this is why he loves you. Because ye have loved me, Jesus said, and have believed that I came out from God. See that? So when you believe that God sent Jesus, that's exactly the essence of John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him. So when you believe Christ, God's love has already been fixed on you, and you believe that he came out from God, then that's why God loves you. He loves you because you believe the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth is about a person more than anything else. Number one, Jesus in John 14:6, a couple of chapters back, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so no one can come to the Father except by me. And so the only way to the Father is through love, the love of Jesus Christ, and you believing what God has said. So when you believe the good news that God loves you, he has sent his son for you, then this tells you the reason why God loves you right here very clearly in plain language in John 16:27. He says, I came forth from the Father and I am come into the world. That's talking about the first advent or the incarnation of Christ. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father. That's talking about his ascension into heaven. After Jesus came, was born in the world according to the law and the prophets of the Virgin, as it had been prophesied in the Old Testament, he came to do the will of him who sent him, who is God the Father. He came to be the living expression of God's love for whoever believes in him. And whoever does believe in him will not perish. It's a promise from Almighty God, and God's love is fixed on you if you believe it, and it continues until God takes you out or until he returns. Either way, however it goes, either when we go out, doesn't make a difference. If I pass away this evening, I'm covered. If the rapture happens in the morning, I'm covered. Or if it happens in 5 minutes from now, I'm covered. And you are too if you trust and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you have a reason right there, that John 16:27, you may want to keep that in your memory. Now he says he came forth from the Father, which was God's promise. And he says, I am coming to the world. That's the incarnation. Again, I leave the world, that's the ascension, and go to the Father. So he is the perfect high priest who came in the order of Melchizedek, the Bible says, in order to satisfy God entirely and to completely represent all of mankind, every believer who believes in him properly in a way that's acceptable to Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? Dude, that makes me want to do a little dance. I might just have to break out here in a second. But it's so good. Think about it. The fact is, God loves you, accepts you because you accept Christ, and He has given you faith to believe that. Now, when His disciples heard it, verse 29, His disciples said unto Him, "Lo, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb." In other words, we're getting it now. It makes sense. You know why? Because the Lord was beginning to impart the Spirit so they could understand, which is exactly what He had promised. "Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." See that? And so He said, "I believe now." The disciples suddenly believed, but they were going to be dashed. Their hopes are going to be dashed any minute now. So Jesus prepares them in the following verses here, in the next couple of verses. Verse 31, Jesus answered and said, "Do you now believe?" He says, "You think you believe, but you haven't really gotten where you need to be." And I want to ask you tonight, have you really thought deeply about who Christ is and what He has done? And do you trust Him entirely? If you do, then you don't have any things to worry about as far as your eternal future. And you don't have any things to worry about as far as any earthly assaults that might come against you, or anything that might thwart your peace or make you have anxiety or pressure. You know why? Because God has already mapped out a plan for you in your life. And if you trust and believe, then you shall be saved. That's covered. And so anything else that happens, you don't really have to worry about it. And I'm going to let you know also, He had already started this dialogue all the way back in chapter 14 in John. He says, "There, let not your hearts be troubled," because He could see they were starting to be worried about some of the kind of stuff Jesus said. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "And I go to prepare a place for you." Remember that in John 14? "And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So He was prepping them all of this time. And I'm glad that John, the apostle, took time to write all these things down. And so that you and I can wrap our minds around it and get an understanding that it's not about you. It's not about me. Now, it doesn't license us in any way to do any sin. But it does let us know that, like Jesus promised as He got out of the grave, even after He had been crucified. In Matthew 28, it says in verse 18, "All power is given to Me in heaven and earth." And then He told His disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all the nations." And so that's what the duty of the church is to teach all the nations. And you notice there's no prejudice, there's no big eyes, no little U's. It's for every man, woman, boy, and girl, not like the kind of stuff we see going on today in our world. The gospel is for everybody. No matter who you are today, the Bible says, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And so I wanted to help you with that today, just to reinforce you, because I know the enemy, he beats up on us. Our flesh beats up on us. And certainly this world has a lot of tribulation, just like Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So we got to run back, right back to there. Every time we get threatened with something else, when there's a new threat on the horizon, whether it be from internal, external, wherever it comes from, whether it be from the enemy of darkness coming against us, whatever it is, you and I need to take a stand and say, "I trust God. I believe Him." And you know, I like to use that acronym. I'm going to share it with you again tonight in case there's somebody listening may not have heard it. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's F-A-I-T-H. Have your faith in the Lord. Forsaking all, I trust Him. I'm going to trust Him no matter what, regardless of what the circumstances are. We had a song we used to sing years ago when I was a member at another church, and it was called "No Matter What the Problem." We can always trust God. And God will be there. He says, "I'll be with you even in trouble, and I will deliver you." He said, "I'll be there with you to deliver you." Amen. So we hope that that will reinforce your faith in the next. So often here, there's a lot of treacherous things going on, a lot of treacherous people. Keep in mind, God is dealing with 100% sinners. That's the thing I like to remind you, that 100% of the people on earth are sinners, every one. Some of them are redeemed sinners who have trusted Christ and are getting better. They're getting better. The healing balm of Gilead has been applied to all of those who trust Christ and believes that God has raised him from the dead, who take that seriously to heart. And understand, that's the only hope that I have before Almighty God, is to trust his son, Jesus, and believe that God has raised him from the dead and that God cannot lie. See, our faith is built on the fact that Almighty God has made us a promise who cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:1-2. Read that for yourself. Or go to Hebrews 6:18 and read it, whichever you like. And there are so many other places. The word that has proceeded from out of my mouth shall not come back unto me void, God says. So he says so many verses telling you everything I said will certainly come to pass, and you don't have to worry about it. So we can trust God no matter what we see on the news, no matter what how big the threats are that come against us, and believe you me, there have been more threats in our lives in this past so many months than there has been in a long time. And it looks like every day, 2021 is getting off to a pretty rough start here with rough stuff and craziness. If you ask me, we thought 2020 was bad. 2021 is getting off to a good start with a bunch of craziness already and things that make people fearful. And so that's why it was impressed on me to talk to you tonight, to let you know that, as the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. This is where you have to be. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. See, think about that whole shepherd psalm. God says, I'm going to be there with you in trouble. I'm going to lead you beside still waters. You know, I'm going to restore your soul, and goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. And when you get done, he says, you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we don't have to worry about that. His rod and his staff will comfort us. All those things that are written there in that psalm that so many of us love are for you. They are for you, beloved. And we hope this evening that you understand that, that God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And it's not based on our behavior, although our behavior will improve. If we begin to feed on his word and to walk by faith, and we begin to fellowship one with another, if the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we have a lot of promises based on the fact that we all need healing. Jesus even said, as we mentioned on last Lord's Day, hey, why is it that you behold the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the beam that's in your own eye? So we all have trouble. We all got issues. We've all got sin. You won't hear this a lot. A lot of churches think they're so holy they can't say anything like that. But the fact is, the Bible says it. So you got to get back to where you trust in the word. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That all your ways includes times when you have failed, times when you have doubted, times when you have had fear, anxiety, pressure. Trust God. Turn it over to the Lord. Find a good friend in the church that you can talk to that understands where you are. And you'll be surprised. If you just talk to somebody, you'll find out everybody else is going through changes too. It's not just you. It's not just the flock. It's the ministers as well. All of us have issues and difficulties. But we need to learn to depend on one another as we depend on the Almighty, who loved you so much that he gave his son for you. And he gave you his spirit to provide you with the path that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. So I hope that word is helping you this evening. And we want to let you know also that the scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's ask that question. The Apostle Paul said, who can successfully be against you if God is for you? And the answer is no one. Because who is higher than God? No one. See, who loves you more than God? No one. Only God. God says he'll be with you even in trouble. And so it's something you can count on that he will make happen for you. Amen. So we know there is a lot of difficult things going on And I wanted to just share that with you as we started out here. Want to have a time coming up here soon. I want to mention this at this time, when we can have you send in some things that you would like to have discussed on the Bible study. We're praying things will get back to kind of normal, if you will, if we can use that anymore, and that we can start to have some things available. We're putting more things online, and we're looking for other outlets to share the gospel. And so we want to be able to engage with you a little more. So we can invite you now to send us an email if you like. You can send it to teachingbible@gmail.com. That's one of our email addresses, teachingbible@gmail.com, and we can address any situation or a question that you may have. And we're going to be doing some live interactive things pretty soon as well. So we're working on all that kind of in the background as we fix up our new facility to make preparation for all the new saints who are going to be coming in, because we just trust God right now and believe that the church is going to grow in drastic proportions in the coming days. And so that's why we moved and have made arrangements to be able to receive more people for